From Main Street to Wall Street, global business celebrity and former Fortune 100 C-suite executive Jeffrey Haislett takes you inside the good, the bad, and the ugly of businesses today. Saddle up. It's time for All Business with Jeffrey Haislett.
For those of you who know me, you know I'm a big fan of Scotch and an even bigger fan of increasing my investment portfolio. So whether you're a connoisseur, an investor, or someone who just appreciates a good story, you're in for a treat. Today, we're going to be taking a deep dive into the world of Scotch whiskey cask investment. Joining me is a guest whose expertise lies at the intersection of financial savvy and the artistry of Scotch whiskey. Taylor Costa Van Putten is the president of Braeburn Whiskey. Taylor, welcome to All Business with Jeffrey Haislett. Now, I have to ask you a little bit about your background, because now you're in the whiskey business, but before this, you were in the art business. So tell me what you were doing in the fine art business.
Yes, I worked all around financial services as a broker, as well as a financial advisor and planner in the past. But had got my way into fine art investments in the multi-million dollar art space, which is a extremely lucrative and attractive investment vehicle, especially if you're filthy rich. But these days, given my background in intangible assets, I've been asked to lead the introduction of Scotch whiskey to America for the first time through Braeburn Whiskey. So excited to be here.
Well, I can not think of a better subject or topic, or certainly an asset than this. I feel like we should be having a glass of whiskey with us while we're doing this. And certainly I'm going to do that right after the show. But you said tangible assets. And I think that's a key phrase here that we want to talk about. So why are high net worth investors today showing a great inclination towards allocating more wealth to real, tangible, or alternative assets?
Yeah, it's been a hot button topic, especially in the last few years with some of the unpredictability and tumult that we've seen in financial markets. The reality is, if you look up surveys and data, interviews of both family offices, wealth managers, big financial institutions, and individual high net worth persons who manage their own money, by and large, a majority of folks with serious risk management needs are actually increasing their allocations to real, tangible assets, which in finance often are called alternative assets, which just means they're not stocks and bonds or cash. Now, the reality is tangible assets have always been appealing to the high net worth crowd. But these days, the main drivers of all the interest are going to be the concerns about inflation, which are very real. You know, tangible assets, especially consumer goods, are ones that can be liquidated in current day dollars, no matter what inflation is doing. So that helps investors to keep up the value of their assets and their dollars. As well, very important about real and tangible assets is oftentimes they are either somewhat or totally illiquid, which is actually a benefit here, because that illiquidity can mean that the movement or the dynamics of their marketplaces can be uncorrelated with other major asset classes, especially stocks and bonds. And so non-correlation is extremely important. The whole purpose of diversification is to ensure that not all parts of your portfolio are moving in the same direction at the same time, especially not all moving downward, tanking at the same direction at the same time or in velocity. So you always want to have part of your portfolio that is doing different things than the rest, so that you've got a stable, consistent, relatively predictable core to help you maintain your wealth and avoid some of the drama that exists in other asset classes, especially like equity and stock.
Well, and a number of these assets, these tangible assets, really appreciate in great value and don't see declines like we might see with some traditional stocks and other investments that people are making. So for those who might be new to the concept, could you do me a favor and explain what exactly is Scotch whiskey cask investment?
Absolutely. So in America, to be perfectly blunt with you, even though there's a lot of great Scotch whiskey lovers, aficionados, guys like you who enjoy a great dram, a great glass, a great bottle of Scotch, I mean, even you had no idea that you can invest in whiskey. And the entire concept here is simply the fact that, as you're well aware, Scotch whiskey and many whiskeys in the world needs to mature and age in wooden barrels. And so when this liquid is distilled, it's put into a wooden barrel, and it's going to sit in a warehouse in Scotland for anywhere from 3 to 50, 70, 80 plus years. And so every single year that that whiskey gets a year older, it's actually maturing. It's changing. The spirit is becoming more complex. It's taking on the characteristics of the wood, of its environment, of the terroir, of the air, of the sea spray that's spatting up against the warehouses there on the Isle of Scotland. And so this increase in complexity also tends to mean that whiskey guys like you want that older whiskey. It's much more desirable and therefore can be significantly more valuable the older it gets. Now, also, the major thing that drives valuation increases of whiskey historically is going to be scarcity. Naturally, whiskey is designed to be drunk. And so if the whiskey is drunk, then there's not enough of it to go around. There's less of it every single day and year. So when you are looking at these whiskeys that are 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 plus years old, these are actually quite rare that any whiskey survives that long. And for that reason, people are willing to pay big bucks for that whiskey. So anyway, the whole idea here is simply to buy casks or barrels full of Scotch whiskey. We generally recommend for most people to buy relatively young whiskey barrels or even brand new, because that's their lowest price. You hold them as long as you possibly can as a mid to long-term investor. And then eventually you simply sell the barrel, the cask, on to its next owner, whether that's another investor, whether it's the distillery buying the liquid back from you, or what's called an independent bottler, whose job it is to bottle that liquid and put it on the shelves. So really, it's a financial transaction. It's all around barrels of whiskey that tend to increase in value significantly faster than most other asset classes that we've compared it to, according to the data. And treating it as a financial transaction that benefits your portfolio, benefits Scotch whiskey, or can even benefit you if you want to take some bottles of whiskey home.
Well, that's a fantastic explanation. Now, you mentioned holding, so I want to hold for a second. Talk to some of our investors in this show by listening to their advertisement. We'll be right back after this announcement.
C-Suite Radio.
Hey, we are back, and this is Jeff Hazlett, host of All Business with Jeffrey Hazlett, right here on C-Suite Radio and C-Suite TV. I am talking to Taylor Costa Van Putten, of course, the president of the North American operation for Braeburn Whiskey, and we're talking about investments in new tangible assets, a new category that I didn't even know existed. And as he mentioned earlier, I'm a big Scotch drinker and found out about this, so I jumped into it and on it right away. Now, you mentioned storage. So I'm going to buy these casks. I'm going to make a minimum investment, say maybe 50, 100, 200, whatever I want to be able to put. I'm talking about hundreds of thousands in this case. And I make those investments. Am I getting the barrels? Am I storing those casks? Or is this all taken care of for me?
Correct. Yeah. So entry point here, just in line with our regulated offering structure, as we're an SEC regulated issuer of securities, the entry point or minimum is going to be approximately $50,000 US to get into a handful of individual casks or barrels together. Now, as you mentioned, barrels take up physical space and somebody needs to take care of them. So where does that happen? Now, unfortunately, even though I know you would love to have a Scotch whiskey factory in your sitting room in Sioux Falls, you can't do that. So in Scotland, the law requires all Scotch whiskey to be born and distilled in Scotland. It's got to live and mature in government bonded warehouses in Scotland. And we also have private insurance to protect the investment in the spirit. And then it also has to be bottled in Scotland. You know, if you somehow were able to smuggle that barrel out, then it's no longer technically Scotch whiskey. And well, that's not really a valuable investment anymore if you can't even call it Scotch. So everything is taken care of very carefully with a warehouse management team and many levels of protection and oversight for your very precious liquid as it ages and matures. We take good care of it.
Now, you mentioned it's Scotch. We're talking about Scotch. Of course, we all know that all Scotch is whiskey. Not all whiskeys are Scotch. But is it only for Scotch, or are we talking about other whiskeys as well?
Yeah, good question. Now, realistically, many, many whiskeys around the world, American, American bourbon, Irish, Japanese, Indian whiskey, the vast majority of whiskeys on the planet are aged in barrels. And so some people absolutely do buy, invest in, and hold barrels of other countries' whiskey. There are a handful of ways you can get into American here in America or elsewhere. But as a business, Braeburn Whiskey, my firm, focuses exclusively on Scotch whiskey and Japanese whiskey. Now, we're in these two categories because in our view, and the data tends to show, that they are most appropriate for more sophisticated and long-term investors who appreciate a history of outperforming other asset classes. And there's a few, reasons why we can confidently say that. One is Scotch whiskey is significantly potentially a much longer term investment than other whiskeys out there. Realistically, most American whiskeys don't really have a market once they're more than, 7 to 10 years old. Nobody wants them. Nobody wants old American whiskey. It gets over-oaked, and that's not a problem that exists in Scotch. Irish, there are some wonderful older whiskeys out there, but they're generally sold again in the 5, 7, 12 year range, and that's where most of the market is. Scotch whiskey has developed this incredible following over the last 50 to 100 years around matured, beautiful, old, and very rare whiskeys, and the market has demonstrated with billions of dollars chasing after these that people have extraordinary demand. And there's a very limited supply. So that's what makes it an attractive investment for us. You know, the fact that it's a premium good, like you very well know, there's a segment of economic goods for all the econ majors out there called Veblen goods, which are luxury goods that buck traditional economic trends. Actually, the more expensive that the stuff gets, the greater the demand and the greater the perceived value. So it's really just a way to participate in the luxury goods space, something that has significant supply and demand imbalances in recent years and likely going forward, and, have virtually no upper limit on how long you can hold it, at least within a human lifetime. Some barrels go 50, 60, 70, 80 years. That's not what most of our investors are doing, but there are some great 80-year-old bottles out there.
That's a great way to be able to do it if you want to live that long. But I think it's unique that you could store these barrels, sell them back to the distillery, because, who would have thought a business? Now, most people would think about the business for a Scotch business. You're going to go to your bank. You're going to go to try to borrow money. You're going to tell people it's going to take a year or two to build the distillery if you can get it or buy one. Then you're going to, make the product. It's going to take you a while. And then you're going to put it in a cask or barrel for years and years. And most banks are going to laugh at you. So this gives an opportunity for the distilleries to be able to get investment into the product to make more product, right?
Absolutely. The whole model exists because of exactly what you're talking about. Building a Scotch whiskey premium single malt distillery is an extraordinarily challenging prospect. You need to spend millions of dollars to build the thing. You need to create a product that's exceptional, and then you need to wait for 10 years before you have a dime coming in. Now, what bank is going to take those payment terms and cross their fingers that they're going to get their return in 10 years? Very few. So that's why, especially relatively young distilleries, emerging distilleries, or distilleries that have major capital projects that they need, like building new stills or a visitor center, or just paying for these very expensive barley, water and energy commodities that they need to run their spirits operations. These firms need capital to be able to thrive. And that is what Whiskey Cask Investment is designed to do, is to exist as a bridge capital. And this system of bridge capital has existed as long as whiskey has been around, for 500 years. It's fairly well understood or known as a commodity or asset class, especially in the UK and many parts of Europe. But in America, because of the challenges of getting any investment, even alternatives and tangibles, available to the public in a regulatorily compliant way with all of our SEC rules, it's challenging. And so almost nobody, really nobody, has gone to the level that we have, that we're aware of, to do all the footwork to make this available to Americans in a secure investing environment with regulatory oversight like our offering has through our broker deal and distribution.
I think this is like the most unique side of crowdfunding that I've seen, at least the most high end of it. And the other piece of this is you can either sell this on the open market, sell it back to the story, as I mentioned, because I think a lot of people probably would do that. It's a safe bet, certainly, but you could go to the open market from what I understand. But the other thing is you could bottle up and drink it, right? I mean, that's the, if that's the worst case scenario, you could certainly do that. I don't think that's the worst case scenario. I think I would tend to, and I am, buying my own and then buying that that I'm going to invest in. So I want to bottle up myself because I want to drink it. I want my friends to be able to enjoy whatever I chose, whatever I think is the most premium whiskey out there. So you can do all of that or all of the above, right?
Absolutely. You know, if you're somebody who owns 10 or 100 barrels, eventually with the type of appreciation that we've historically seen and may continue into the future with the asset class, eventually bottling some of it effectively pays for itself with the increase in value. So if you're a whiskey lover, you absolutely can and should take some whiskey out and put it in bottles. Some people will buy barrels on behalf of their children when they're born or when they're young. And so you can take bottles out when they graduate college, when they're 21, of course, and you know, do 100 bottles for that very special occasion. And then 5 years later, when they're 26 and they're getting married, you get another 100 bottles out for your wedding guests, for the kid. And then, you know, eventually your kid starts and builds a successful business. You want to celebrate again, take the last 100 bottles out. Definitely, I encourage everybody who's a whiskey lover to consider making a absolute one-of-a-kind whiskey bottle. I can't wait to make a Jefferies dram. It's going to have your face on it. It's going to be probably one of the best whiskeys we've ever done.
I'll probably have to name it after my bridge here in South Dakota. You know, I think that's a historic location. So we'll do something that.
Well, speaking about bridges, yes.
Yeah, bridge too far, bridge close, hopefully. And I drink on that bridge all the time, and I usually enjoy a nice, nice 18 or 21-year-old scotch. So, hey, let's take another break, and we'll be right back after this message.
C-Suite Radio.
Hi, this is Jeffrey Hazlett, and we are live right here with All Business with Jeffrey Hazlett right here on C-Suite Radio and C-Suite TV. I'm talking to the president of Braeburn Whiskey, Taylor Costa Van Putten, and we're talking about investments that you can make in the Scotch whiskey business. And of course, I want to do a quick shout out to my good friends at United Airlines. We're the longest running television show on United. I'd like to have a nice Scotch on the Friendly Skies as well. Now, Taylor, we were talking about, you know, what to do and what you're getting, but who is this investment best for? And who's the kind of person that's doing it? Can anybody do this? Do you have to be a qualified investor? I mean, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, good question. You know, the world of alternative assets is pretty regulated in terms of who is allowed to participate. And it's not our rules. It is the Securities and Exchange Commission. But as we're a private off-exchange investment, according to the Securities and Exchange Commission, we can only offer this asset class to what are called accredited investors. Now, an accredited investor is not some hard to achieve, you know, certification. You don't have to go give your firstborn to any government office or anything like that. It's really just financial qualification. So most people will be qualified through either income or net worth or certain finance professionals. So to qualify as an accredited investor, a person can either be earning $200,000 in income personally or $300,000 a year jointly together with their spouse, or a person can have a net worth of $1 million plus, excluding the residence in which they live, their primary residence, or certain financial industry professionals licensed as a broker or financial advisor in some cases might also be eligible. If you're not sure, Jeffrey will put a QR code down here and a link to our website where you can apply and check your qualification. Always happy to talk and see if there's a way for you to participate. Now, once you meet the very, very basic requirements, you know, we are a little bit selective about who we work with. And that's because we naturally only want to have people come on board that are excited about the asset class, but can really benefit from it. So two things we primarily will always ask for and look for. Are you somebody who has a mid to long-term outlook in their investments? Let's be very clear. Nobody day trades barrels full of whiskey. It doesn't happen. When you buy a barrel or when a barrel is created, it is a 10 to 15 to 30 year project, statistically speaking. So You know, at the bare minimum, if you want to benefit from this and participate and see the stability that it can provide to a portfolio, we really say you should be doing this for 5 years plus. There's no lockups. There's no handcuffs. We're not going to force you to hold it. But, you know, tangible assets tend to be for mid to long term investments, and we stick to that. Now, secondly, real or tangible assets are particularly helpful for people that are overweight or maybe entirely invested in more liquid, more volatile, and more traditional assets. When I say that, I mean, if you've got a heavy stock allocation, heavy bond allocation, heavy in cash right now, all of these asset classes are absolutely getting beat up by volatility and upside, downside unpredictability. So whiskey is a way to sock away 5 to 10% of your portfolio in something that you really don't have to think about or worry about for 5, 10, 15 plus years and emerge on the other side excited about the results that you've seen and how it's been able to be a safe harbor in your portfolio. You know, and lastly, to be honest with you, I think the investors that I work with here and the people that inquire and come on board are some of the most interesting and adventurous people that I meet. You know, you have to be an interesting person to make interesting investments, and people who love whiskey or people that are just excited to participate in an artisanal product and benefiting, you know, small family businesses in the premium whiskey business in Scotland and having their investment dollars actually go and do some serious good and making incredible whiskey for the world. Those are the people that tend to be the most excited and most eligible to come on board. And, you know, lastly, this background here that you're looking at is not a fake Zoom background or anything. This is the New York City Braeburn Whiskey Vault, which is an exclusive members only club and lounge that we love to pour whiskeys for, really only for our investors. And people who love whiskey are absolutely invited to come and join us for a dram once they've come on board and gotten invested with their first cask. So people who want to share and enjoy whiskey here with us in New York are some of our favorite people.
And I found that most people who do drink premium whiskeys are some of the best people in the world. Great conversation. You might not agree with them all the time, but you'll certainly have an interesting time. And it's been an interesting time with you. Taylor, thanks so much for being with us right here on All Business with Jeffrey Hazen on C-Suite Radio and C-Suite TV.
Thanks so much, Jeff. We're going to look forward to seeing you here soon.
Hey, at the end of every show, I like to talk about what I learned, and I'll tell you what I learned is time. You know, good things come with time, and that's certainly the case when it comes to whiskey. And I also like to learn about investments that even if things aren't the greatest for the financial side, which in this case they seem to be, I can always drink the investment. And that's what I learned right here on All Business with Jeffrey Hazlett, right here on C-Suite TV and C-Suite Radio.
You're listening to All Business with Jeffrey Hazlett, brought to you by C-Suite Radio, a podcast network featuring today's top business experts and is part of the C-Suite Network, the world's most trusted network of C-Suite executives. Find this and other business podcasts on c-suiteradio.com. This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.